Well, if you would turn in your copy of God's Word to 2 Peter chapter 3, we're going to finish our series this morning, Growing in God's Grace. 2 Peter chapter 3. It's always good to go away on vacation. It's always better when you go away on vacation and you have a great friend that you can turn to and Pastor Adam and look at him and say, I'm going away on vacation for 10 days. Have fun. Don't call me. I won't call you. And he did a great job proclaiming and teaching and preaching God's word last week. And I'm thankful for his ministry as well. So I did some research on Google, which means it's true, right? Did some anticipation for our service and our message this morning, and I got thinking about home security systems. So I started to look into Nest, Google Nest, and I started looking at Ring.com, which took me down this rabbit hole. It's a struggle. The struggle is real, and I'm spending a lot of time researching home security systems. And I started thinking about, you know, I wonder how much people spend. Did you know, according to, it's on Google, so this means that it's true, that Americans spend $20 billion a year on security systems? Google said it, so that must be true. So I thought about this, and I thought, wow, I don't have a home security system. I need to get one. But then I started thinking, you know what, friends? I have a home security system. Cost me $22 a month. This is my home security system. Now, friends, you may not realize that this is my ferocious beagle. This is the natural posture that she has. You may say she's sleeping. I prefer to say she is conserving energy for when she needs to move her head. We had friends come over a couple weeks ago and we told them, hey, you know, we have a beagle. Don't worry. If you're lucky, she may lift up her head. She lifted up her head, looked around and went, yeah, it's not worth it. Sat back down, went back to sleep. Her mode of exercise is she gets up, walks in a circle, puts her head in the other end and goes back to sleep. This is the attack position. What is she attacking? The water bowl. And then she'll go back to lay down. I don't have to worry about a home security system. I've got my killer beagle that may or may not move her head if you come into the house. You have to be more afraid of Hannah than you have to be afraid of my beagle. But as we look into God's word this morning, friends, we need to be on alert because Peter is teaching us, he is equipping us for helping us to be on guard. If you want a message title this morning, it's Be On Guard. It's the home security system. So let's go ahead. Let's look at God's word in the next few moments here as we finish out 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 14, he says, therefore, when you come to the word therefore, I ask the question, what's the therefore there for? No one liked that. I worked so hard on that. What's the therefore there for? All right, that's another way of saying what's the context? What is going on in the context? The context is Jesus is coming back. And friends, he is coming back. The only question we have is when. We don't know when, but we know for sure that he is coming back. So that is the immediate context, the 2020 vision that we are reading with God's word. So we come to verse 14. Therefore what? Therefore, because Jesus is coming. My Bible calls it the coming day of the Lord. He is coming back. Church, prepare yourself. He will be back. So therefore, because he's coming back, beloved, It tells me my audience, again, are believers, those that believe in the life, the death, and the resurrection. Those that are looking to Jesus saying, I'm following your example. Those that are saying, I will follow in God's way and God's word. You, if you are that, you are beloved. You are the ones that are following Jesus. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, what are these things? The coming of the Lord. People ask me, when is Jesus coming back? I don't know. I know that he is. Be on the lookout. The best way I can illustrate this is by a story. For a friend, I would like to talk about my time in elementary school. Remember in elementary school, the teacher would need to leave the room, whether to go to the restroom, whether to go discipline another child, whether to go make copies. And she or he would say, I'm leaving. You all be on your best behavior. Do you remember these times? I mean, for a friend, I mean, let's just say little Tommy would be in the classroom and little Tommy had a decision to make. Do I behave or do I be mischievous? I was always behaving. Do you believe me? Perfect. I appreciate that. We would, now listen, if you're in elementary school, wake up and start taking notes, all right? We had a lookout. We had one person designated as the lookout that would look out for the coming back of the teacher. And when she would come around the corner, a lookout would say, coming back, and everybody would run back to their seats. Sit down and pretend like they were behaving. Did anybody else do this? Okay, great. This is true confession time of the pastor. I'm just saying for a friend, little Tommy did this. Sometimes he was a lookout. We're just going to go with sometimes he's a lookout. And what would happen is you would make sure to be on the lookout. Friends, we need to be on the lookout. Jesus is coming back. We need to be diligent. We need to be found faithful. And so many times, friends, when we see a promise, sometimes we lose the diligence in knowing and believing that promise is going to happen. And Peter is reminding us in the very end of his letter, do not fall away, or be diligent. Continue to be faithful. Continue to be faithful. Jesus is coming back. When he comes back, you don't know when, but friends, he's coming. Just like we didn't know when that teacher was going to come, we knew that she was coming back. And we knew if she found us out of our seats and causing trouble, that there would be consequences. Jesus is coming back, and when he comes back, he wants to find us faithful. He wants to find us diligent. He wants us to be peaceful. Peaceful, the absence of conflict. He wants us to be spotless. Notice, not perfect. We cannot be perfect. I cannot, and you cannot. But we need to be behaving in a certain way, a way that is found in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. We're growing in our knowledge. We're growing in our self-control. We're growing in our behavior. We're growing in our attitude. We're growing in our perseverance. We're showing loving kindness, and we're demonstrating sacrificial love. We are to be found doing those things, not because we're trying to earn salvation, but because we're saying, I am following after Jesus. Beloved, do not become discouraged. You are to be found peaceful, without sin, and blameless. That you're to have a reputation that people look at you and go, you are following Christ. Certainly, that is not true of what they're saying about you. You are following Christ. You are blameless. The accusations they're making, that doesn't stick with your character because you are full of peace, you are spotless, and you are without blame. Jesus is coming back. One commentator put it this way. He said, the purpose of prophetic truth is not speculation, but motivation. Let me read that again. The purpose of prophetic truth is not speculation, but it's motivation. Let me go earthly and let me go eternal. When that teacher left the room when I was in first through eighth grade, just saying for a friend, we never speculated, boy, I wonder if she's coming back. Sometimes we were curious, you know, did we run her out? Not for me. I was a good student. But we were motivated to make sure that we were on our behavior, because if they returned and we were caught goofing off, consequences would happen. It's the same thing with Jesus, only with eternal significance. We look at this and the point of prophetic truth is not speculation. I wonder if he's coming back. Friends, he's coming back. 1 Peter 3:1-11. He is coming back. And that should motivate us to live lives that when he comes back, we're living a life that is worthy of his second coming. He continues in the passage and he says, in regard the patience of our Lord. Go back to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. The Lord continues to wait so that more people will start a relationship with him. If you're here this morning and you do not have a relationship with the Lord, I ask you, what's holding you back? What's causing the wait? Or what would it take for you to start a relationship with Jesus? What would it take for you to go, you know something? I can't do it my own way. I can't do it by myself. I need help. That help comes from Jesus. What would it take for you to come to salvation? You may not even know the right questions to ask. I would like to buy you a big cup of coffee. Not because I'm so smart and I have all the answers, but because I know the place to find the answers, which is God's word. And so if you have questions, reach out. What better place to ask your questions? What better place to try to find answers than the truth of God's word that never changes? Peter is saying God is being patient. He continues to wait for patience. He's waiting for you. What's your holdup? Just as also our beloved brother Paul. So Peter's going to talk about Paul. This brings great comfort to me. He talks about Paul and he says in verse 16, also in Paul's letters, speaking in them of these things, in which some things are hard to understand. Yes. If we've ever read the book of Romans, you sit there, you scratch your head and go, I have no earthly idea what Paul is saying. This brings me comfort because Peter didn't understand. And Peter said, boy, these things are hard to understand. Peter says that about Paul's letters. He's writing this. And he says to him, there are some hard things to understand in some of Paul's letters. But look at what he says, which the untaught and unstable distort. They're taking Paul's letters. They're saying, we don't understand it. So if we don't understand it, we're just going to make our own words up. We're just going to make our own meaning. It's a whole lot easier than us pausing, wrestling through the scriptures, doing our studies, doing our reading. Let's just make it up. It's a whole lot easier. Paul, writing difficult things, Peter says, there are false teachers out there that are taking Paul's words and they're distorting them, which the untaught and unstable distort. Now notice what happens, as they do to the rest of scriptures. There's false teachers out there. They are distorting and twisting God's word to meet their own needs. 2 Peter 1:2, be on guard. Put up your security system. Make sure you are on alert. It's why you have a home security system. You want to feel safe. You want to feel secure. That's why you have a dog. Because you want to feel safe. You want to feel secure. Friends, there are false teachers out there. Let's get our security system up, which is the Word of God, and make sure we are safe and secure. In a world that everybody has a platform, let's make sure we stick and hold to the word of God. Peter is writing this saying, beloved, be on alert, because those that teach and twist scripture, they're going to have destruction. Go back one last time to my illustration, elementary school. When the kids were running around, the teacher came back if Lookout didn't do his job or her job, and the teacher caught a few students that were being, shall we say, naughty. She or he had a decision. They could punish the whole class, or he or she could punish just those individuals that would be out fellowshipping from their seats with other children. See how that works? If I only had the wisdom now that I needed back then. So Jesus is saying, hey, listen, with those false teachers, they're the ones that are going to be punished because they're twisting and contorting and twisting God's word. You, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, you need to realize there's false teachers coming. You need to realize there's false teachers that you are hearing. Be on alert. Be on the lookout. If you got a text from somebody that says, hey, tonight at 3 a.m., I'm coming to rob your house. Guess who's staying up at 3 a.m.? My wife, you're right. She'll be staying up at 3. You guys, come on. You're going to be on alert. You're going to have the security system armed and ready to go. You're going to have the dog upset and angry so that when the burglar comes, there can be an attack. Friends, we're under attack now with people that are taking God's word and they're twisting it. Be on alert. Dial in to your security system that is God's word and be on guard. With who are in your earbuds, be on guard, be on alert, so that you are not carried away by the error of the unprincipled men. You don't want people to lead you astray. I don't want people to come rob my house. That's why I lock my doors. That's why I have a dog. That's why you have home security systems. That's why we invest, so that people don't take advantage of us. The same is true when we study God's word. Who are you listening to? How easy it is to grow in knowledge but not in grace. Listen to what this commentator has to say. How easy it is to grow in knowledge but not grace. All of us know far more of the Bible than we really live. That's true in my life. I would submit that's probably true in yours. We have far more knowledge than we need, but it's the application of this knowledge. Listen to what he says. All of us know far more of the Bible than we really live. Knowledge without grace is a terrible weapon, and grace without knowledge can be very, very shallow. I want you to leave here with knowledge of God's word, so that you are not taken away and you are not deceived. But I also want you to grow in application. I want you to be able to hear and be able to do what God's word says. So what's the next step? What's the next thing that we can do? What's the next step you can take? The first one is to engage in corporate worship. There are so many things vying for our time, vying for our attention. You could be many other places doing many other things, but you have chosen to come here to worship the Lord because he is worthy to be praised. Engage in corporate worship. We were not made to live life alone. We were made for relationships. Ultimately, our relationship with the Lord. Second of all, our earthly relationships. Some would say our vertical relationship and our horizontal relationship. What's the next thing you can do? Well, you can engage in corporate worship. Come to church. And then don't just rush out. Find someone you don't know. Hey, how you doing? Engage with each other. The next thing that we want you to do is to connect with a small group. Because we want to grow as individuals. We want to grow as a church. We want to get out of the rows and get into a circle. Share life together. Grow in our knowledge, whether it's young married couples, whether it's college and career, whether it's midlife, whether it's senior saints, whether it's silver saints. There are so many different ways to connect. And there are small groups that are happening right now underneath you. It's like 5 or 6 groups happening. Some of you would call them small groups. Some of you would call them Sunday schools. I call them opportunities to grow in knowledge and relationship. In a couple weeks, we're going to launch Sunday Nights at Crosspoint, September 11th, where we're going to open up more small groups. There's opportunities for you to connect for a small group so that you can grow in your knowledge and you can grow in your relationship. When you go on vacation, you set the security system and you go over to your neighbor and say, hey, I'm going away on vacation. Would you just make sure the house is okay? Call me if there's a problem. That's what corporate worship's about. We come in, we encourage each other, we watch out for each other. And when we're missing for a couple weeks, whether it's in corporate worship or in a small group, we call each other, go, hey, I haven't seen you in a while. You okay? Miss seeing you around. Well, then life shared. But it happens as we engage in worship and as we connect to a small group. Lord, we're so thankful for your word. We're thankful for the reminder that we have that you came to pay the debt, a debt that you did not owe, so that we could have life everlasting. Lord, you are so worthy to be praised. We're thankful for the reminder that we had this morning. Lord, you are coming back. I pray, Lord, that you might help us to be diligent, to be faithful, to continue to stand upon your word, that we would be on guard. There are false teachers that are coming. They are here now. Help us to have our security system armed and ready to go, to be able to fend off those that would want to steal from us, those that would want to lead us astray, by making sure we stay true to your word and your word alone. Lord, if there's somebody here this morning that does not know you, that would answer that question, I have some stipulations, or I have some questions, or I have some clarifications that need to be said. I pray, God, that you might give them the boldness to come see the pastors at the back, that they could begin a dialogue of questions that they have so that they could come to a place of salvation, to accept the free gift of life everlasting through the sacrifice of Jesus. Lord, keep us faithful, keep us diligent, and keep us on guard to you and your word. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.